Let's turn to the Lord's Word. We're reading in Hebrews chapter 11. This is a portion of Scripture that has often been likened to an art gallery. If you ever go into an art gallery, you will see various portraits, various pictures of different scenes and different people. And Hebrews 11 is a bit like that, in that you have portraits, picture portraits, of men and women of God who are known often as the heroes of faith. And you'll read a prefix to many of their names, these words, by faith or through faith. They're people who were known for their trust, for their faith in the Lord. And we want to think about that theme again tonight. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We'll finish there at verse 6. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. The last time we met at prayer meeting, we considered those great words of Proverbs chapter 3. The text that we took was the words of verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord, and do so with all thine heart. That's what the Bible says we are to do. Trust in the Lord is tantamount to saying, have faith in the Lord. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion to his disciples, have faith in God. And when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, you have a number of examples of those who did exactly that. They trusted in the Lord. Not only did they trust in the Lord for their soul's salvation, not only did they put their faith and their trust in the work of the Redeemer for their soul's salvation, but they continued to walk by faith and to live by faith. And I think that that's very well understood as we read about, for example, Enoch. The Bible says of Enoch in verse 5 of Hebrews 11 that he was translated. That means the Lord took him from one place to another, i.e. from earth to heaven, for this purpose, that he should not see death, and was not found. And that means, as far as I'm concerned, that after he was gone, people were looking for him, but they didn't find him, because the Lord had taken him. He was not found because God had translated him. God had moved him from one place to another. But then it says, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then you read these words, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch was a man who not only was saved by faith, as all true believers are, but he walked by faith. He lived by faith. And that's something that you and I are called to do. We are called upon going back to the words of Proverbs 3, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We're to do that every day that we live. We're to trust Him for everything. We're to look to Him for direction, for guidance, for all that we need. That's what it means to live by faith. And if we had time, we could look at the lives of others that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11 and know that the things that they did because they had faith and trust in God. We could mention Abraham. In verse 8 it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. God called him from a particular place, i.e. his father's house in Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia, and called him to go to a place that was as yet unrevealed. The Lord wanted him to step out by faith. And there's times when we are called upon to step out by faith. Some people think that faith is a leap in the dark, but it's not. Because verse 1 tells us, Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance really signifies the ground or the confidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. When you stand by faith upon the Word of God, you're not taking a leap into the dark. You're not taking a walk into the unknown in that sense. But you are standing by faith upon the solid ground of God's Word and God's promise. And we'll come to that after a little bit. But I want to speak tonight, following on from last week's message about trusting in the Lord, and I want to talk about faith itself. The first thing I want to say about faith is its explanation. We want to think about what the definition of faith is. So this first point is the explanation of faith. Simply, it is trusting the Lord. That's what faith is. Trusting the Lord. We sing with the children in Sunday school quite often. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. He will never fail us. His promises are true. If we but receive Him, His children we become. Faith is just believing this wondrous thing is done. Faith is believing. It is trusting in the Lord. Now we know that faith is something that we don't come up with by ourselves. When it comes to the matter of salvation, the Bible is very clear. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, many of us will know them off by heart. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What not of yourselves? Faith. Faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is the gift of God, just as repentance is a gift. So, believing, faith is a gift. It is given unto you, not only to believe, the Bible says, but also to suffer for His sake. It is given to you. Now, trusting the Lord is something that can be spoken of under other terms. I mentioned one of them last time, and that was leaning. There is a little song which says, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. That's just another way of saying, I'm trusting Him. I'm looking to Him by faith. Faith, trusting the Lord, is a leaning, or we might also say, relying upon Him. When you rely upon the Lord, you are trusting the Lord. You have faith in the Lord. But there are a host of terms that the Bible uses that have the idea of trust associated with them. And really, we know how faith is explained as we look at these particular words. The Bible talks about having faith in the Lord. In Galatians 2 verse 20, the Apostle Paul gave his testimony. He said very simply, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And it has been pointed out rightly by commentators that this is in the original the objective genitive. It really means faith in or toward the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We trust in the Lord. We have faith in the Lord. We're familiar with the term believe. The Bible uses that term in speaking about faith. One of the most famous verses in all of the Bible is John 3:16. But John 3:15 says much the same thing in terms of whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Faith is then relying upon the Lord. It's leaning upon the Lord. It's having faith in the Lord. It's believing in the Lord. We could also say that faith is to be explained as a waiting upon the Lord. In Psalm 27:14, we are commanded to wait on the Lord and to be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's lovely how sometimes God gives you a word, just a little word when you need it. One of our early giants, I would call him, in the Free Church was a minister called John Wiley. Mr. Wiley was a tremendous man of God. I had the privilege of having him preach for me even when he was an old man who hadn't been too well. He had some heart trouble and he had to stop preaching for a period of time. And then the Lord touched him and raised him again. He was able to preach again. But I remember him telling us in our church when he visited, and he was well into his 70s at that time. He said, I wasn't well. My heart was giving me a lot of trouble. I couldn't preach. And he said, I was out one day walking, trying to get some exercise, as the doctor told me to do. And he said, I had a little talk with the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm no use. I'm of no benefit to you and to your cause and to the church. I can't preach. I can do nothing. Lord, I'd just as well be away to heaven. And he said, just then there came into his head this thought. And it was Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And he said, the Lord did strengthen my physical heart so that I was able to come back and preach. And he said, I'm here today preaching the word. Well, the Lord will strengthen our spiritual hearts. How? As we wait on him. And that's what faith is. Faith is waiting on the Lord. And we could furthermore say that faith is hoping in the Lord. That's another term that we could use that is used in the Bible for the same thing. Faith, trust, believing, having faith, relying, leaning upon, hoping in the Lord. Psalm 71 and verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. You see how those words are interchangeable in the mind of the psalmist. My hope and my trust. They're the same thing. So do we have that tonight? Do we have hope? Do we have trust in the Lord? George Mueller was a great man of faith. I gave an illustration about him last time. You may remember it, concerning the fog lifting to allow him to go to Quebec to preach. George Mueller said, and I quote, what is faith? In the simplest manner in which I am able to express it, I answer, faith is the assurance that the thing which God has said in his word is true, and that God will act according to what He has said in His Word. This assurance, this reliance on God's Word, this confidence is faith. There's the explanation of faith. It's trusting, it's waiting, it's hoping, it's believing, it's leaning, it's relying upon the Lord. May God help us to have that faith in an ongoing way. I trust that everyone here is a true believer, that you have been given faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul. Well, I can tell you this, if you've been given faith to believe on Him for the saving of your soul, God will give you faith to trust in Him to live your life, to be able to go on with Him. Are there times when we feel that we can't go on? Absolutely. But the Lord is able to speak the word of peace and of power into our souls and to give us faith again. A renewed faith in Him and in His Word. Let's think not only about the explanation of faith then, but the existence of faith. There are those who say they have faith, and it's actually a false faith. The Bible says, of course, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, that all men have not faith. There are those who don't have faith. There are those who have never been granted that belief and that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing we can say about real faith, and it is that not all believers have the same size of faith. Now, I'll flesh that out in a moment, but let me show you a scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It begins, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me emphasize that the faith that's spoken about here literally means faith that is just like ours, or faith of the same kind. That is to say, it's of the same quality. It is looking to the same righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you'll notice that it doesn't really say anything about the size of that faith. The Bible sometimes speaks about those who had great faith. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to a centurion. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, the Lord said of this man, and I'll read the whole verse. When Jesus heard it, that's the words of this centurion, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, that means truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This is a man with great faith. But you'll notice in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 8, further down the passage, and verse 26, the Lord was speaking to His own disciples. And He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Isn't that interesting? Here's a man, on one hand, who's a Gentile, but he is a believer. And the Lord refers to him as one who has such great faith that it's unlike any that he has seen in Israel. He has so great faith. And the men that he chose out to accompany with him, the Lord Jesus said of them, and said to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? I find that very interesting. Sometimes we can focus on the strength or otherwise of our faith. And sometimes you may doubt that you even have faith at all. Especially when you compare yourself to somebody who you think has truly great faith. And I've known people like that in my life. And I have wished that I was like them. But that's always a dangerous thing to do, is to compare your faith with somebody else's. Let me say to you, the existence of faith is what matters most of all. That you have true faith, as we've explained it in the first point. But if you have faith,
even if it's small, it's still real. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said this: "Faith, though it hath sometimes a trembling hand, it must not have a withered hand, but it must stretch." True faith. Didn't the Lord speak about a small seed? I always think of this one. It's springtime and we're sowing in the garden, and you put those seeds in. Some of the seeds are bigger and some of them are really tiny. You know what lettuce seed looks like? It's so small. Just little black things. Sometimes I don't even know where I have planted them and where I haven't, because they're so small. And it reminds me of the mustard seed. Someone gave me a gift one time. I have it somewhere at home. I have so many plaques and pictures and so forth. We could probably wallpaper the walls. But this one thing, it's a little plaque, and it has something on there. It's a scripture verse, and it talks about having faith as a mustard seed. And it's got a little glass receptacle, and inside it there's a mustard seed. It's so tiny. It's so small. The smallest of seeds, the Lord called it. But he told his disciples, but by extension, us as well, that if our faith is as small as the mustard seed, we can see great things accomplished. Look at what the Lord said. Matthew 17, verse 20. Matthew 17:20. The disciples asked, "Why could not we cast him out, the devil, out of the child?" Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." I had a friend once who used to like to joke, because he said, when you drive out of Belfast to Ballygowan, which is north of the city, he said, "There's a hill on the right-hand side. You know it?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, if your faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can see a mountain move." He said, "When I drive back down the road, it's on my left-hand side." Well, I have friends like that. But you know what? The Lord can literally move mountains if we have faith the size of a mustard seed. That's what he says. "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now just think about that. And let that percolate down into your soul, and let it percolate into my own heart. "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." And even as we read that, the devil of unbelief is rising up in our hearts and saying, "No, that can't be true." But it is true, because it's the Lord's word. If we have faith that's as small as a grain of mustard seed, we can see great things done. The other scripture that I want to confer with is Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Well, you look at that and say, well, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? It would. And God is able to do great things in answer to prayer and in response to faith. Now, the Bible teaches us that even with the smallest of faith, we have all our sins removed by Christ. The Bible doesn't say you have to have big faith in the Lord to be saved. The Bible says you have to have faith in the Lord, in Christ, to be saved. It doesn't say anything about the size of your faith, but it says everything about the quality of your faith. And yet, having said that, and it is true, that even the smallest amount of faith can see great things done. The existence of faith is what is important. Yet, we can and we should pray for more faith and for greater trust in the Lord. It's interesting to me that the passage I just quoted
Luke 17, verse 6, follows on from what the Lord had said in the previous verse. And what is it? Luke 17, verse 5. The Lord records by His Spirit the words of the apostles. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, how did the Lord answer them? If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed. I take from that that their desire to have an increase of faith was being rebuked by the Lord, because He was telling them that they didn't have as much as a grain of mustard seed type faith. Because He said, if you had, you might say to this tree, be plucked up by the root. Oh, we should pray for faith. We should pray for a greater trust. And yet remembering, and this is important for us to think of, remembering that real faith may at times lack assurance. If you're someone who at times has a lack of assurance, even about your salvation, realize that you're not alone. My pastor used to say, I doubt the man who never doubted his salvation. The devil will make sure of it. Your own flesh will make sure of it. That at times you lack assurance. And an old Puritan said, at the times when you lack the faith of assurance, you need to exercise the faith of adherence. That is, you need to cling to the Lord. Lord, I don't feel it, but I want to cling to You anyway. Continue to trust. And sometimes when it comes to the matter of prayer, and we're praying about certain things, we don't have the assurance right away that we will be answered. There's a story like that in the Bible in Matthew 15 that's about the woman who is known as the Canaanitish woman. She came to the Lord on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter. But she did not get the assurance initially from the Lord that she would be answered or that that request would be granted. Let me read it to you. Matthew 15 from verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But He answered her not a word. Did you ever feel that way when you pray? That the Lord's not even listening. You're not getting any answer. And the disciples made things worse. It says, they came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Lord, this woman's a nuisance. Send her away. But He answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the Lord's lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread. It's not proper. And to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't it interesting that again you have someone who's a stranger from the Commonwealth of Israel? The centurion earlier is a man with great faith. The Lord said He hadn't seen faith like it in Israel. Here's another woman. She's from Canaan. She is treated by the Jews as a dog, as a pariah of the street. And the Lord says, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Thomas Watson said here, faith may be strongest when assurance is weakest. The woman of Canaan had no assurance, but a glorious faith. That's not a contradiction. That happens to be the truth. She had no assurance that the Lord would answer, yet she kept asking in faith. William Gurnall then points out, that which was instrumental to beget thy faith will be helpful to preserve it. I mean the Word of God. And here we have the secret of a greater faith. We often use this verse in the gospel, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But you know, that's true for believers as well. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is what increases our faith. What God has said in his word. The promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ our King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Trusting in God as we trust in his word. It is the promises of God that will provide encouragement to you and to me in prayer. The existence of faith. And then let me just mention very briefly the effects of faith. The effects of faith in our service, it will bring about certain things. God demands that we live holy lives. 1 Peter 1 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that holiness is not just an outward conformity to God's laws and precepts, but an inward love of God and his will. We know that unbelief is at the root of all sin. But as we begin to trust the Lord, faith in the heart has a purifying effect. And we read, do we not, in Acts 15 verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Purification of heart comes through faith. Protection comes through faith. We've talked about the armor of the Christian in the Lord's Day morning services. The Bible tells us in Psalm 125, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Here are great promises. And the promises of protection from our enemies are for those that trust in the Lord. Are we trusting in the Lord to keep us? Are we trusting in the Lord to help us? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. This is the effect of faith. Purification. Protection. Provision. You know the Lord is able to meet our every need. You think about this. If the Lord Jesus died for our sins, God is able to freely give to us as believers all that we need as we serve him. This is the teaching of Romans 8:32. This is a lovely statement. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. All things that are needed for life and godliness. The Lord is able to provide for the believer as that believer trusts in him. I come back to George Mueller. The stories from George Mueller's life are the stuff, you might say, of legend. They are remarkable stories of answers to prayer and of God's provision for a man who dared to simply trust him for his needs. George Mueller, at times, along with his wife, was brought down to the wire when it came to the Lord meeting their needs. And on one notable occasion, George always has had this principle when he held meetings of just having a box at the back of the building. But he didn't even tell people about the existence of the box. He didn't say, now, there's a box if you would like to give something afterwards. He didn't do that and didn't believe in doing that. That was his conviction. And I'm not saying that that's what every Christian has to do or every church has to do, but I'm just illustrating how that this man lived in that way, by faith. He believed that God answered prayer so that if he and his wife sought the Lord, God would definitely touch people's hearts and meet their needs. There were those times when they went to the box and his wife would open it and there was nothing in it.
And she said, George, could we not maybe just once in a while mention that we have a need? And I said, no, dear, because the Lord knows our need. Your Heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask Him. And so we're going to trust the Lord. And that poor wife was trying hard to trust the Lord, but it was tough. But you know what? The Lord always, just in time, it seemed, came through for them. At the height of his ministry, George Mueller was running something like 4 or 5 orphanages by faith. And Christians would have their hearts touched and would give to that particular need. Here's a man who dared just to stand upon God's promise and to trust Him. We can trust the Lord. God is as good as His Word. The text says, if He's delivered Christ up for us all, how shall He not with Christ also freely give us all things? The Bible tells us much about faith. The rewards of faith. How that the Lord will bless faith and trust in Him. There are many promises concerning our believing. As we ask, believing it shall be done. Believe ye that I am able to do this, Jesus said. And there's a verse in Psalm 31, it's verse 19. And it says there, O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Them that trust in thee. May the Lord help us to trust in Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the solid ground. It's the confidence that we stand upon, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. May the Lord hear our prayer tonight. Lord, increase our faith. Amen.